Everything gives you cancer. There's no cure. The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting cam, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Al, he doesn't care for lesbians. G, he thinks two men should just be friends. B, to his dumb knowledge, is just a phase in college. T, he finds confusing, so the army's now refusing trans women who only want to serve. Trans men who want rights we all deserve. POTUS thinks it's unsavory. Patriots who know real bravery. Trump's got hate for me and you.
This is James Corden from the Late Late Show. I guess on his show last night. It's pretty awesome. But let it play out.
Transgender troops are not a huge expense. This ban only saves that budget 0.04%. How is their disruption worse than Trump's corruption? Why is it such a crisis? Thousands willing to fight ISIS. Trump wants to seem like a manly man, overcompensating for his tiny hands. Trans vets might be nervous, but we thank you for your service. We have love for all of you. Yes, we've got love for all of you. LGBT, we love all of you.
Awesome is that. James Corden from the Late Late Show. If you don't stay up late enough, he's really good. He's the guy who does the carpool karaoke thing. I think he's a Broadway sing and dance man, as you can tell, because he can sing a song for the transgender troops. Welcome to a Thursday. Heads are still spinning everywhere. The only thing that Donald Trump promised, your heads will spin. Our heads are spinning. I don't even know where to begin other than, well, we'll start with this, you know, Trump's pronouncement yesterday morning that regarding transgender Americans in the military. John McCain, who heads up the Senate Armed Services Committee, said about the statement that made by tweet that it was unclear. He said the Department of Defense already decided to allow currently serving transgender individuals to stay in the military, and many are serving honorably today. Any American who meets current medical and readiness standards should be allowed to continue serving. There's no reason to force service members who are able to fight, train, and deploy to leave the military regardless of their gender identity. He continued, "We should all be guided by the principle that any American who wants to serve serve our country and is able to meet the standards should have the opportunity to do so and should be treated as the patriots they are. I don't know what got up Donald Trump's ass. Except there was a report I read that it had something to do with funding for his stupid wall. And he thought that by pulling back on this and the minuscule amount of funds that would go to transgender personnel, military personnel, medical expenses would come out of his wall fund. I don't think there is a wall fund, just saying. By the way, speaking of the transgender and the military, I put most of this into What's News Today, but it bears repeating anyway. There's a woman named Kristen Beck. She was a member of SEAL Team 6. She was in the military and the Navy for over 20 years, did some number of deployments, something like 13 deployments. And she was on with Anderson Cooper last night. Here's a little bit of that.
With the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail, what do you think would taking transgender military members out of the service actually look like? I mean, talk about disruption, to use the president's word.
You use the exact word. I mean, it's disruption. I have one particular friend who is in the Army, and she speaks Farsi, Arabic, and about five other languages. And she's been at a war zone a couple of times. And back and forth, she's immensely capable. How are you going to replace that person? All that experience and all those language skills? And I can give you dozens and dozens of counts of people with that kind of experience. If you had me right now serving in the military, you can't replace a senior chief. You can't replace all that experience. You know, it's a very difficult replacement. So you're talking about some huge disruptions.
And there's no reason to replace these people. It's all in Trump's minuscule brain that he comes up with this. So here we are. It's Thursday. The diversions are still coming at us from all ends. And there's a ton of stuff going on, from the healthcare votes, which we'll get to the Trump-Jeff Sessions feud, which we'll get to the transgender ban from the military, which we just spoke about, the Russia investigation. And then there's that little twerp, Scaramucci, that I haven't even spoken about yet. But as soon as I came on, the phone rang. So let's see who this is from the 520 area code. Who's on the phone? That's you.
Oh.
Hi.
502. I'm your pal down in Mexico.
I hope I'm not calling you
too soon. Ray, this whole trans thing, I think this is one of his shiny objects that he's using to distract us and just pander to
his
Uber base and all. But what does worry me, and I'm hoping you can fill me in here a tiny bit, I read something really disturbing yesterday. Please don't ask me where. I can't remember.
Don't worry about it.
Yesterday, Sessions Attorney General's office filed what is referred to, I believe, as an amicus brief, you know, friend of the court.
Right.
They were not directly involved. I think it's in New York. It's trying the truth or not, one hopes it is true, that equal protection under the law for women against sexual discrimination
does not apply.
Being tried now as not applying to
LGBT
gay people in
general,
right. Not just trans. Do you know more about that?
No, I read something similar to what you read. I don't know a whole lot more about it. This is the disconcerting thing about this whole Sessions kerfuffle. He's a heinous human being. He never, ever should have been made attorney general. The thing is,
should have been born.
Well, there's that. But
of course, abortion probably wasn't available in his
state
back then. Anyway.
Not that his mother wanted to abort him, but
no,
of all things, I mean, he never should have been made attorney general. He's probably the worst person that could have been put in that position. But yes, I understand that that is one of the things that he's working on to try to take equal protection away.
This is being slid just yesterday, same time as the so-called trans ban, right?
Yep.
I really do think it's just waving shiny stuff at us to get us off the real subject. Meanwhile, they're filing this amicus brief in the far background, you know, that is attempting to deny all gay people with protection under the law and anti-discrimination benefits under the law. This is incredible.
I hear you.
Why is the news not like ballistic on this? This is the real
because
story.
There's so much stuff, and you know, the, if you watch any of the nightly news programs, they have to do their the dog rescued the deer story, which is a wonderful story and all, but really in a 30-minute news show, there's actual news to cover. And if you watch cable news,
Nicole, I don't even consider them to be news programs, and I don't believe you do either. They're God help anyone without even minimal cable, but and that's millions of people, tens of millions nationwide, who only have ABC, CBS. Oh, please. It's beyond pathetic and has been for
well, but now you have the internet, and the problem with the internet is you have to weed through everything to find out what's real and what isn't. You know, people with half a brain can figure out which sites are credible and which ones aren't. But as we've learned, a lot of people don't have half a brain, and we have a president who says things like,
"I love the poorly educated."
So having no education is a commodity for Republicans. So there you go.
Of course.
Anyway, I'm going to run, Nick. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the call.
I didn't mean to keep you, but that needs to not be dropped and forgotten. You know, keep an eye on that.
Well, we will keep an eye on that along with the laundry list of other things too. 805 area code. Who's on the line?
Jason from Simi Valley, sir.
Hey,
ma'am.
Thank you. Hey, Jason, what's on your mind today?
It's already been a long day.
I hear you.
I want to call you up on 3 points very quickly. Number one, the gay issue concerns me enormously because it affects members of my family who I love very much.
Mm-hmm.
And the little evil Keebler elf can, this is ridiculous. I think even Republicans are going to go, no, because there are a lot of gay individuals and lesbians who are Republican.
Right.
Why, I have no idea.
Me either.
But I'm greatly concerned about that, and when I heard that. Number two, seeing this reality show farce go on in the White House, distraction it may be, but it's also incredibly dangerous.
Yes.
And we won't even talk about the mooch because I look at that guy and I just think he's a used car salesman.
Yes, exactly.
And the third thing, you're going to hate me. I love Nicole. I listen every day. I look forward to it. Mondays are torture for me when you're not around just doing the music show. But I'm going to say something and you're going to yell at me. I'm sorry.
I'll try not to.
All right. I'm going to ask you when you have Howie on. When you and Howie get going, I've noticed over the last few weeks, notwithstanding current events, it's becoming a little one note.
Yeah, it's a lot of the, and Howie's on today because he's on Thursdays. I want to ask him who's good out there on the Democratic side. Like, for instance, lately, I'll tell you who I've been really liking is, from Connecticut.
The guy running against, I thought you were going to mention the guy running against Ryan.
Oh, no. Well, he's great. And he was on the show. I'm talking about who's good, who is in Congress, in the Senate, maybe even a potential presidential candidate, Chris Murphy from Connecticut. I am more and more impressed with Chris Murphy every time I hear him speak.
I think we do need younger. That's one thing. But only thing I was asking is, and I like the show, and we don't always agree. And by the way, you and I are in the same boat. You have the C thing going on.
Yep.
Or had going on. I have diabetes, and I have friends of mine around me who are getting cancer. So I will be perfectly frank. If they screw us the way I think they're going to, anybody ever see the end of Frankenstein? With the villagers with the pitchforks and torches.
Yep.
I think we may end up there, but I'm just telling you, as somebody who listens to a lot of progressive radio, I listen to you, I listen to Randy, and I listen to Stephanie, and all that. I think you do a fine show, particularly when it's a one-woman band. And I am urging some of the other people to come talk to you. I love it when you had Jackie Schechner on the show, too.
Jackie's great.
I think when you can get some people like that, I think it's good, and I find it. So this is a word of encouragement.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to be too critical of Howie. So,
it's okay. I hear what you're saying. I know sometimes, look, we're critical of our own side. It's not that we're trying to put them down. It's because we care. And what I worry about is if it's the same old, if the Democrats didn't learn anything from what we just went through, then we're really screwed.
As somebody who, we did not agree on presidential candidates.
Okay.
And I am all of that. I will say this much. The one point I think Howie's made and you have made when he comes on is forgetting the current management because they all have strengths and weaknesses. I can we get something other than mucky shucky, whatever that is?
Yeah, we have a new intro today, courtesy of our pal Boca Brittany Summers.
All right. What I was going to tell you is learning. The best thing I have seen is that there are, according, 219 people running against representatives, mostly women. And I think that's a good sign. I think cultivating a younger group is good. I mean, there's that Ted Lieu, who I like a lot.
He's great.
Out here in California.
Isn't he great?
And I see Carmilla, my senator, God love her. Those are the people who are the future. And by the way, don't talk too nasty about my old senator, Patty Murray. I think she's
I don't talk nasty about
good.
Patty Murray.
I'm being facetious. Somewhat.
Oh, okay.
Patty Murray is part of magic, but I will tell you, if she is behind the scenes quietly one of the best consensus builders in the Senate, and personally, if Chuck Schumer gets tossed, she's the woman for the job.
Hmm.
Never send a man to do a woman's
well,
work.
Well, I agree with you on that one. I definitely agree
Look,
with you on
you
that
one. You stay better. Have a great weekend. And I look forward to the new Howie jingle.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. All right. Well, so I'm always happy to stop down on the stuff that I've prepared to talk to you guys. So if you ever want to call in, except when I have a guest. You know, when I have a guest, I have a guest. But in the first half hour of the show, you're always welcome to call in. There is one thing. So, the Votorama is supposed to begin tonight. The skinny bill, the skinny repeal, which is actually not so skinny anymore, apparently will be brought up tonight. Made it a little fatter. What we know so far, there's still no bill. Nobody has seen this so-called skinny repeal bill. But what I just saw come over Twitter not too long ago is it will repeal the individual mandate. It partially repeals the employer mandate. It defunds Planned Parenthood, which I don't know how that fits in under reconciliation. So I take this with a grain of salt. It eliminates the Prevention and Public Health Fund, and it expands 1,332 waivers, which allow states to opt out of complying with certain regulations and consumer protection, including the 10 essential health benefits. So again, I take that with a grain of salt until I see it, that it's in print, that here is this so-called skinny bill, and here's the text of it, and it's released. I don't necessarily believe it, but we're just trying to get through, get the information we can. So that's that. They're still doing the debate, the 20 hours of debate that split 10 hours for the Democrats, 10 hours for the Republicans. There's still some debate to be going on unless they break or anybody gives up time, which I don't see happening. The Votorama is supposed to begin tonight at around 8 o'clock. And that's when it's just amendment after amendment after amendment. And allegedly, and your guess on some of this is as good as mine, I've tried to understand what's going on. And I'll admit, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about because it's all so confusing. And there's no bill. So if it's just a shell, what they're going to do is introduce these amendments after amendments after amendments. And if that passes, that's what they take to conference with the House. Or they could just pass the House bill that passed, you know, that really mean bill that passed the House, and go with that and send it to the president's desk for a signature. Either way, it's horrible. And I hope that you'll take a few minutes out and call your senators and urge them to do the right thing here and go back to, as John McCain said, regular order. Regular order. Now, there is one thing that I want to play for you because this happened, just a few hours ago. There's a column by Aaron Blake in the Washington Post. Let me see if I can find it. That's headlined, Republicans are starting to draw red lines on Trump firing Sessions and Mueller. Let me just read a little bit of it for you. As Trump weighs firing, for arguably the first time, Republicans are starting to draw red lines in an effort to save President Trump from himself. As Trump weighs firing one or both of Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Special Counsel Robert Mueller, a pair of GOP senators is promising measures to thwart or dissuade him. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Charles Grassley of Iowa said yesterday that his panel would not confirm a new Attorney General to replace Sessions this year. He tweeted out, "Everybody in D.C. should be warned that the agenda for the Judiciary Committee is set for the rest of 2017. Judges first, sub-cabinet second, AG no way." So that's what he said. Now, of course, we know about the whole recess appointment thing, which is still an option, which is frightening. But this morning, Lindsey Graham, you know, was caught up with in the one of the Senate building hallways, and he said he'd introduce legislation to protect Mueller and warned it could be the beginning of the end of Trump's presidency if he tried to fire Mueller. And here's some of that clip. It went on for quite a while, but here's the pertinent part of it.
The president has the right to fire anybody in his cabinet. As a human being, I think he should show some respect for Jeff Sessions as a person.
You think?
Jeff Sessions was the most loyal supporter of Donald Trump. He's a rock-solid conservative. But the reason I like him so much is I often disagree with him, but I've never believed that he was a man who lacks integrity or sense of fair play. This effort to basically marginalize and humiliate the Attorney General is not going over well in the Senate. I don't think it's going on over well in the conservative world. If you believe Jeff Sessions should be fired, use the power you have and accept the consequences.
But don't fire.
I hope it stops. I'm 100% behind Jeff Sessions. The chairman of the Judiciary Committee sent a pretty chilling tweet yesterday. There will be no confirmation hearing for a new attorney general in 2017. If Jeff Sessions is fired, there will be holy hell to pay. Any effort to go after Mueller could be the beginning of the end of the Trump presidency, unless Mueller did something wrong. Right now, I have no reason to believe that Mueller is compromised. If you got reason to believe he is compromised and shouldn't be serving as special counsel, let me know. I'm working on legislation that I will introduce next week with Republicans and some Democrats.
This is the part here.
I think you get all the Democrats. I hope I can get a good number of Republicans that will say the following. A special counsel cannot be fired when they were impaneled to investigate the president or his team unless you have judicial review of the firing, not just for Trump, but for any future president. We need a check and balance here. That was sort of the process in the 90s. So I'm going to try to come up with statutory language it would say in the case of Bob Mueller and future special counsels. If the attorney general fires that person who's been impaneled to investigate the president or their team, then judges will have to look and see if whether or not the reasons stated meet the statutory definitions.
So the Republican senators are circling the wagons around Jeff Sessions. Look, he was one of them for a long, long time. As heinous of a human being as Jeff Sessions is, for Donald Trump to fire him right now and have the opportunity to appoint somebody else during the recess that's coming up, if indeed one comes up, depending on what happens with the health care vote, we're screwed because it wouldn't need Senate confirmation and he could stay in office until the beginning of the next Congress, which is January of 2019. So, you know, be careful what you wish for. Oh, no one said it would be easy, did they? All right. It is Thursday. Howie Klein is coming up. So we'll take a break. We'll check out today's What's News and come back with a new intro today. We'll alternate them. We're not going to get rid of little Chucky Schmucky so quickly. Oh, no. Oh, no. We'll be right back.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Votorama continues in the U.S. Senate, where on Wednesday, seven Republicans joined all of the Democrats in rejecting a straight repeal of the Affordable Care Act with a provision delaying any replacement for 2 years. The Congressional Budget Office had estimated that repealing without replacing Obamacare would result in more than 30 million Americans losing their insurance coverage. The seven senators who voted no Wednesday in that repeal-only bill were Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Dean Heller of Nevada, John McCain of Arizona, Rob Portman of Ohio, and Lamar Alexander of Tennessee. Senator Rob Portman of Ohio explained.
We need a rescue plan for people in Ohio who are in counties where there's not a single insurer and costs have gone up practically double for individuals. I didn't think repeal only was appropriate because it doesn't provide that help for those people.
In between the votes, there's 20 hours of debate split evenly between Democrats and Republicans. Senators Bernie Sanders and Ron Wyden share the floor, but Democrats have said they won't offer amendments without a bill, which still no one has seen.
Would my friend from Oregon tell me how many hearings have been held on the Finance Committee to discuss the economic implications of this legislation? Were there 5, 10, how many hearings on this enormously complicated and important issue?
My colleague is being logical, and heaven forbid that that should be introduced into this, because we would automatically assume that on a matter like this, where you're talking about a sixth of the American economy, the Senate Finance Committee would have hearings. There have been no hearings.
No hearings on a bill which impacts a sixth of the American economy and every single American.
With the bills that had already been floated going down to defeat, the GOP is getting ready to introduce its so-called skinny repeal on Friday. The Congressional Budget Office weighed in with a score on Wednesday evening. MSNBC's Chris Hayes explains.
This one, the so-called skinny repeal, scaled-down version, it would leave 16 million more Americans uninsured by 2026 and, crucially, also increase premiums by 20% more on average. And it's far from a comprehensive health plan. This partial repeal bill, that's the one that's designed to get Republicans just something to pass. A piece of legislation, essentially just kind of a placeholder, that then they can take to a conference committee with the House where the real work of crafting a bill would happen. But here's the thing. As Democratic Senator Chris Murphy points out, quote, a scaled-back repeal bill, just so Senate GOP can get to conference, equals unconditional surrender of Senate GOP to the House bill. Since Senate would go to conference without a bill effectively, a House bill would act as a default for any negotiations. And negotiations would be minimal because Senate GOP would have lost all bargaining power by their inability to produce a bill. Now, we know what the House bill does. It's already been scored by the CBO, which said it would increase the number of uninsured people compared to current law by 19 million in 2020, 23 million in 2026. And Trump celebrated the passage of the House version back in May before later calling it mean, mean, mean. But if the Senate in the next day truly abdicates its responsibility to come up with its own bill, if senators pass a bill for show and then pass the buck to the House, that version, the mean one, might be very close to what becomes law.
The president's Twitter pronouncement on Wednesday morning banning transgendered troops from serving in the U.S. military drew bipartisan denunciations and threw currently serving transgendered troops into limbo. John McCain, chair of the Senate Armed Services Committee, said, quote, the Department of Defense has already decided to allow currently serving transgender individuals to stay in the military, and many are serving honorably today. Any American who meets current medical and readiness standards should be allowed to continue serving. Even Orrin Hatch weighed in.
People who are transgender, they don't choose to be transgender. They're born that way. And why should we hold that against them? And they're human beings. And many of them are extremely talented human beings. So, you know, we should be open to everybody.
Kristen Beck, a retired member of SEAL Team 6 who was deployed 13 times, now a transgender woman, told CNN's Anderson Cooper.
I have one particular friend who is in the Army, and she speaks Farsi, Arabic, and about 5 other languages. And she's been in the war zone a couple of times. And back and forth, she's immensely capable. How are you going to replace that person? All that experience and all those language skills? And I can give you dozens and dozens of counts of people with that kind of experience. If you had me right now serving in the military, you can't replace a senior chief. You can't replace all that experience. You know, it's a very difficult replacement. So you're talking about some huge disruptions.
James Mattis, Secretary of Defense, is on vacation this week. The Pentagon referred all questions to the White House, where Sarah Huckabee Sanders threatened to end the White House daily briefing early Wednesday if reporters kept asking about the proclamation by tweet.
As I've said before, and I'll try to make this clear. This was a military decision. This was about military readiness. This was about unit cohesion. This was about resources within the military and nothing more. Guys, I really don't have anything else to add on that topic.
Bullshit.
As I do, I'll keep you posted. But if those are the only questions we have, I'm going to call it a day. But if we have questions on other topics, I'll be happy to take it.
And that's a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener-funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well, then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
With over 900 seats and the White House lost, the Democratic National Committee decided to take its feet off the desk and called on experts from around the globe to come up with a message. Fortified with lab coats and clipboards, these messaging experts, through tireless, perspicacious research, have yielded this result.
We have spent a lot of time working on this, and it's going to really impress the American people.
You wouldn't want to vote for us or something, would you?
No, no. We got better jobs and free ice cream.
How about this?
Order today and we'll send you a free copy of Steal This Book.
Here to help is Howie Klein with Nicole Sandler on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Hello, Howie Klein. Uh-oh. Do we not have Howie Klein again? Oh, I hate it when this happens. Let's try Howie one more time. I know he was there this morning. We may just go back to the phones. Maybe he didn't like the new intro. I don't know. Let's try and Howie one more time. One ringy dingy. Oh, we got a fax machine. That's weird. Let's try it again. Oh, I hate it when this happens. This is live radio without a producer. This is what happens here. Come on, Howie, pick up.
Hey,
there you are. I think I got your fax machine for a moment there. Hi, Howie Klein.
Hi, how you doing? I have no fax machine.
No? Oh, that was weird. Then that is something maybe on my end. Let me ask you this. Do you have as difficult a time as I'm having keeping up with everything that's going on?
Probably, yes. And I have an extra special little thing, actually a very big thing, because as I've told you, one of my closest friends in the world is possibly transitioning from life to death. That's up to Jesus. But I'm spending hours every day at the hospital, so that even makes it more difficult to keep up. And it's hard enough to keep up anyway. I mean, it just seems that every day, Trump is throwing out, some other thing to keep people from thinking about the things he doesn't want them to think about. I mean, I think he'd much rather everybody think about his horrible policies towards transgender service members than think about why he needs to be impeached for what he did with Vladimir Putin. Or, you know, everything is a distraction away from that, and he's a master at it. He knows how to do this kind of stuff. He doesn't know much. He's not a master of much, but this is what he knows.
He knows how to distract, right? He knows how to throw out distractions, and this whole thing with the ban on transgender men and women serving in the armed forces, this was something that nobody in the Pentagon knew was coming. In fact, the Secretary of Defense was on vacation this week. The vice chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff had no clue this was coming. This hit everyone. It blindsided everybody.
I think an hour after his tweet or 2 hours after his tweet, the Wall Street Journal already had a big story up saying that, because Trump said I spoke with my generals at the Pentagon, and we all want to get these transgenders out of the way. And the Wall Street Journal said no one in the Pentagon knew anything about what he was going to do. In fact, because there was a 9-minute lapse in the first part of the three tweet little storm he did. So he started by saying, you know, I've talked to my generals and we are going to, and then there was a 9-minute lapse.
Yep.
They were freaking out because they thought he was going to bomb North Korea.
Oh,
they
my
didn't
God.
Realize that it was going to be, you know, him, you know, babbling about his nonsense about the transgender service members, which did exactly what he wanted. It distracted for the day from the Russia investigation for Putingate, went away for, you know, hours for lots and lots of people. And this became something that everybody was outraged about. All these veteran groups and veterans, you know, both veteran incumbents in Congress and members of, you know, people who are running for Congress as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone turned away from talking about what Trump didn't want them talking about. Putingate,
of course,
and just talked about how horrible it is that he would target people who are serving in the military. This bum never served in the military. As you know, he had he had genital herpes in the 70s and was spreading it all over New York, and he was a disgusting creature that everybody wanted to avoid. And he has said publicly on the Howard Stern show that battling his genital herpes and syphilis and gonorrhea, whatever he had, all these venereal diseases that he was afflicted with, that was his Vietnam. And he equates the service that men and women do when they're in the armed forces with him battling his genital warts and what a horror that has been, and how awful it was for him to have to go through all these various sexually transmitted diseases that he was afflicted with. He's just a disgusting, disgusting version of a human being.
He really is. I marvel at the fact that we're here, where we are today, that this health care, these votes are taking place now. He has no clue what's in the bill. All he wants is something that they put on his desk that he can sign. He doesn't care what's in it. He doesn't know what's in it. All he wants is a legislative victory.
Because what he'll say, no matter what it is that it's the best bill ever anywhere. No one has ever had such a wonderful bill. This is the best health care anyone has ever had. It's free for everybody. And you know, and his moron 30% of the country's supporters will just you take it at face value, and that's it. Yes. And then if you say anything else, it's fake news.
It is amazing. You have a piece up at downwithtyranny.com about psychiatrists are now allowed to talk about Trump. And in fact, you know, I had this conversation with my therapist because I make no secret of the fact that I suffer from depression. And it's been markedly worse since he took office.
For you and millions of other Americans, you're aware of that, right? This is affecting the whole country, right?
I am. And she even brought up that, you know, the fact that there's really something wrong with this man, and that in you know, psychiatric journals now, they're talking about doing away with the so-called Goldwater rule that, you know, for the sake of the nation, because so many people are suffering from Trump anxiety and depression, that they need to focus in on what's wrong with this man.
Yes, well, it's true. I mean, there are a lot of people. You know, I'm not going to say in any serious way that everyone who's zonked out on prescription drugs is a Trump fan. But I did look very, very closely at some of the counties, the 25 counties where there was the most death from prescription drugs. So opioid addiction is causing immense numbers of deaths around the country.
Mm-hmm.
But the 25 counties where it was epidemic, where it was really scary epidemic, Trump, with one exception, which was on an Indian reservation, I think in South Dakota. I wrote about this a long time ago. So there was this one Indian reservation in South Dakota where the opioid crisis was on that level. Of one of the 25 counties, and they voted for Hillary. But the other 24, not on Indian reservations, every single one of them not just voted for Trump, they voted for Trump by over 70%, and some of them over 80%.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is there are a lot of people who don't quite understand what Trump is. They don't understand that Trump, you know, they don't expect the president of the United States to be a compulsive liar. I mean, who would think that someone who is president, I mean, yes, we've had presidents who have lied, but have we ever had a president who lied every time he opened his mouth? Does Trump say anything true? I mean, I have to assume anything he says is false unless proven otherwise.
Right. The only thing your head'll spin. When he said your head'll spin because our heads are collectively spinning, that's the only thing I can think of that's been true that he said.
Yeah. Well, he really is a danger to Americans in a lot of ways, and that includes mental health. And that's why I think the American Psychoanalysts Association is one of the big trade groups of American psychiatrists said, okay, forget about this Goldwater rule for now. There's an existential threat to Americans, and if someone thinks that they have something to say about it, we're going to look the other way. Say what you want.
Right. There's even, I guess, a book coming out here. In October, a book titled The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump, 27 Psychiatrists and Mental Health Experts Assess a President, will be published. So, you know, the question is, does he last that long? And sadly, I'm looking at the stuff with Jeff Sessions. Did you hear what Lindsey Graham said today?
I did. I was writing about it a little while ago, and Lindsey Graham was the only thing that's different is that he was willing to use his name.
Yeah.
There were many other Republicans in Congress, both in the Senate and the House, who were basically saying the same thing that Lindsey Graham was saying, but they didn't want their names attached to it because they don't want to have a fight with the White House.
Which is understandable. I mean, look what he did to Lisa Murkowski. She voted against the motion to proceed, and got Ryan Zinke, the Interior Secretary, to call and threaten some deal they have with Alaska. I mean,
they're threatening Alaska. They're threatening the state of Alaska.
Yeah.
In reality, what Trump has inadvertently done is making Lisa Murkowski immensely popular in her state.
Right.
I mean, this is be the best thing that ever happened to her politically, because she's standing up for her own state against this bully. And when you look at the coverage, it was just last night and today, the coverage in Alaska, it's all the same. That she's a hero and she's standing up for the state. So Trump inadvertently is helping her. He certainly doesn't mean to. And as far as Ryan Zinke, this makes clear that he is a collaborator with the Trump regime, and this is it for him. He's ruined his own any kind of credibility he ever had, or any kind of political capital that he thinks he was building up. That's gone for him pulling this bullshit with Lisa Murkowski.
Yes. Well, it seems like Donald Trump believes that the cabinet is there to serve him, not the American people. For in Donald Trump's world, it's all about Donald Trump. It's not about the nation. And it's mind blowing that somebody with such a limited, you know, worldview could be in this position. This whole thing with Jeff Sessions really has me perturbed, because in no reasonable time would I ever defend Jeff Sessions, right? But I do worry.
Well, Sessions is probably the worst member of the cabinet.
Yes, I agree. And if anyone deserves to be kicked out, it's him, but not for the reasons that Donald Trump wants to fire him.
It's pretty amazing when Trump gets progressives to question an opportunity to get rid of Jeff Sessions.
Right.
I mean, Jeff Sessions is doing such terrible things right now. I mean, on any level, certainly in terms of immigration, of breaking up families and ruining the lives of so many people, something that Trump said he would never go along with, but of course is going along with completely. And on that level, which is horrific, and then on other levels of, you know, trying to destroy a burgeoning marijuana industry. He's up to no good with that. Trying this whole bullshit with sanctuary cities, of trying to politicize a process that shouldn't be political. I mean, he's a really, really bad guy who's doing really, really bad things, and yet here we are, you know, some of us anyway, saying let's hope Trump doesn't fire him. Because that there's an even greater danger. If Trump does fire him, he'll pick somebody specifically for the purpose of firing Mueller.
Right.
I never got how you pronounce it.
Mueller. It's spelled Mueller, but it's pronounced Mueller. Right.
Yes.
That's and doing it in a recess appointment, which is what everyone's freaking out about. But that's what Lindsey Graham's whole thing is about, saying that he's writing legislation that he's got Democrats with him on it. He's hoping Republicans will come, you know, to the table with him on it, too, to prevent just such a thing from happening.
Right. Well, normally, the way this has been done in the past, and there have been instances, in fact, one of the biggest ones was McConnell himself. They didn't want Obama to do any recess appointments, so they technically kept the Senate open, even though it was really adjourned. Technically, it wasn't adjourned, so it's not like McConnell doesn't know how to do that. But McConnell is not going to do that against Trump, and you know, he's really, really complicit in all of Trump's criminal behavior.
I agree, but aren't they circling the wagons around Sessions? I mean, this is the question about McConnell. Is he going to stand up for a guy who was in his caucus for all these years, or is he going to stand up for Trump?
I believe that McConnell is not going to be a leader on anything, that he is going to be a follower. So the day that a majority of Republicans in the Senate say they're, you know, the wagons are circled, McConnell will circle, be part of the circle. The day that a majority of Senate Republicans say, okay, this guy's got to be impeached, McConnell will get on board. But McConnell will never be the deciding guy. He'll never lead on any of this stuff. He's going to always follow. That's Mitch McConnell.
I hear you. The whole thing, there's so much going on. By the way, speaking of the burgeoning marijuana industry, there's breaking news on this. I don't know if you heard. The Senate Appropriations Committee voted to renew protections for medical marijuana. I have a statement from Normal. It just came on over, you know, not long before the show ended. It said Senator Patrick Leahy successfully offered and passed the Rohrabacher Blumenauer Amendment in the Senate Appropriations Committee to protect lawful medical marijuana programs from the Department of Justice. It says Attorney General Jeff Sessions to be denied resources to attack lawful state programs. So maybe they can hold him in check on that.
Yeah, well, that's really good news. And you know, he will look immediately for ways to get around that.
Of course. You know, someone called in the first segment of the show about Sessions trying to he filed an amicus brief with a New York court saying that gays and lesbians aren't afforded protections under the Equal Rights Clause of the Constitution. This is the kind of shit that Sessions is doing, yet, you know, the thought of Trump firing him and bringing someone else in on a recess appointment has me scared shitless, because it could get so much worse. And because then whoever he brings in, I don't know who would take the job, but there are certainly bound to be some, you know, people like Jeff Sessions out there who are a little less ethical when it comes to what they're supposed to recuse themselves on, who would go ahead and fire Mueller and give Trump free rein to collude with the Russians.
Well, I think that it's two separate things. I think there's no, all Trump is going to really care about is finding someone to give him free rein to collude with the Russians. I think that's all he cares about. So the policy is a separate situation. So there's some kind of a chance, probably a very good chance, that he's going to get someone who is not even nearly as bad as Jeff Sessions. I mean, I don't think he's going to find someone like Jeff Sessions. I think he's going to put in someone more, I mean, it'll be someone excruciatingly bad. But remember, Jeff Sessions is the worst we've ever had.
Yep.
He's the worst attorney general in the history of America. And he would put in someone like Chris Christie or Rudy Giuliani, or, you know, some clown who he's not a Confederate. They'll put someone in who will do what Trump wants in terms of getting rid of Mueller, but will perhaps not spend inordinate amounts of time trying to disenfranchise Americans the way Sessions does, or trying to deport innocent immigrants the way Sessions does, or trying to, for example, get rid of legal marijuana. I mean, you know, the whole thing with legalized marijuana, it's a states' rights issue, and you'd think that conservatives would be all about that.
You would
but
think.
Yet, I mean, let's leave out the medical marijuana part for a minute, and let's just go to what is called recreational marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several states in the country, quite a few and a growing number, that are legalizing it. And that is where Sessions is going to be putting all of his efforts now, to override what the voters have passed in states like Colorado and Washington and Oregon and California, and Nevada and other states.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's trying to do now.
Wow.
So I think that Trump's replacement for him, if it comes to that, might be someone who doesn't really care that much about that. That's an issue that, you know, is for a Sessions constituency of radical right religious nuts. I mean, those are the people who feel strongly about some of Sessions' issues. And it's not likely that Trump is going to find another one like that. He's just looking for someone to get him off the hook with his collusion with the Russians.
Right.
And he knows that if that's proven, he is on his way to impeachment, possibly prison.
We can only hope. Do you think that Trump will be there at the end of the term?
Probably I do.
Yeah.
I think, but I don't think that could happen, but it's unlikely, but it
right,
could.
Right.
And then on top of that, they pick up 3 seats and win a majority. So they win Arizona. So Jeff Flake is gone. They win Nevada. No more Dean Heller. And
mm-hmm.
they win Texas. Goodbye, Ted Cruz. So this is
and we get Beto O'Rourke.
Optimistic scenario possible.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens? They still don't have enough votes to find Trump guilty of impeachment. So in other words, he can be impeached just the same way that Bill Clinton was impeached.
Right.
And then the Senate says not guilty.
Yeah,
and
it depends.
Why I think he will be there at the end of 2019.
Or it depends how more heinous he becomes over the course of the next couple of years. Because, you know, if they get rid of him, then they got Mike Pence waiting in the wings. And he's a lot of those Republicans' wet dream.
Right, true enough, but they see him as something that they would like. Democrats have a fear. So, I mean, okay, I mean, is there a scenario that would actually send Trump out of the White House where they could really get rid of him?
Yeah,
and
but it's
yeah,
not likely.
I mean, I could think of some. I mean, you could think of like some really catastrophic ones, but a lot of those would implicate Mike Pence as well. So it's very hard to say. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but you asked me the question,
yep.
Do I think he'll be there at the end of his term? Unfortunately, I do think he'll be there at the end of his term, and it'll just be a one-term situation for him, and hopefully either Bernie or Elizabeth Warren will follow him as the next president.
Now, putting Bernie and Elizabeth Warren aside, and I hope it would be one of them as well, and I think either one of them could win, who else is out there? I want to ask you about one senator in particular who I've been really impressed with lately, Chris Murphy of Connecticut. What do you know about him?
I know a bit about Chris. When he ran, Blue America endorsed him, and we supported him. We got you remember those great little ads that we did with Ricky Lee Jones?
Oh yeah.
Had enough. We had her do one for Chris Murphy.
Oh, very cool.
So we were on the ground floor helping Chris to win his congressional seat. He then went on to win a House seat. So Chris was a bit of a disappointment in the House. He immediately joined the New Dems,
yeah.
Became a very active New Dem. Has been an active New Dem, and politically he's not that great. I mean, everyone thinks he's wonderful now because Chris Hayes has him on all the time, and he's always, and I think Rachel does as well, and he's anti-Trump, and people equate that with being a good progressive. He's not.
Okay.
Let me tell you something that you can relate to, as can your listeners in Florida. When Patrick Murphy was running in the primary against Alan Grayson, the person who was the first to stab Alan in the back really, really ruthlessly was Chris Murphy.
Ooh.
Chris Murphy.
Oh,
I
didn't know that.
And he did a thing where he talked all these other senators who didn't really know any better, who didn't understand what was happening. He talked them into backing Patrick Murphy. So all of a sudden, all these senators, some of whom were very progressive, who didn't know what they were doing, they didn't pay attention, they just took Chris Murphy's word for it. They all came out and attacked. Well, I shouldn't say they attacked Allen, but they all backed Patrick Murphy.
Right.
So Patrick Murphy, the single most corrupt Democrat who was running in 2016 for the Senate, and someone who had no chance of beating Marco Rubio, just no chance. And because, so, you know, to some extent, the blame for that kind of thing falls on Chris Murphy. So it's just something for people to keep in mind when there's this bubble to prevent Bernie, to prevent Elizabeth Warren from getting the nomination, and they'll do anything to do that, the establishment, and then they'll throw out, you know, they'll try, you know, some horrible corporate whore like Cory Booker, or they'll try, you know, the king of the Republican bankruptcy bill, Joe Biden, or they'll pick, some, you know, moderate, like, what's her name, like Klobuchar, or God only knows what they're going to come up with. And eventually one of the ones that they'll try to throw out as the way to stop Bernie or the way to stop Elizabeth Warren is going to be Chris Murphy. So people need to keep in mind, you know, at all times, you know, it's, you know, attacking Trump, going on TV and attacking Trump is a very good thing. And I'm glad that Chris Murphy does that. Thank you, Chris Murphy, for attacking Trump. That's great. But that does not equate to being a progressive. That does not equate to solving the problems that allowed for someone like Trump to be elected. That's something much more important. I don't want to say it's more important, but it's at least as important. And not everyone agrees with me. I mean, I know some people who are saying that nothing is important except getting rid of Trump and that's it, and they don't care. They just say we have to get behind anybody who's going to be against Trump, and that's the end of the story. And, you know,
and to an extent, right? And to an extent, I'm there. I mean, it doesn't. The primary season is different, and if we could get a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren, obviously that's the way we need to go. But
both Bernie and Elizabeth Warren are talking actively with their supporters about running. So it's not like some, you know, it's not just, you know, me and John Amato and Digby sitting around thinking, how can we get Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders to run? It's way beyond that. Each of them have contacted people who I know well, political campaign operatives, about helping them with their campaigns. So it doesn't mean that they're definitely going to run, but it means that they're definitely thinking very seriously about it in terms of asking people not to commit to other campaigns because they expect that they'll be running.
Well, good. And that's a great note to end on, because that gives me some bit of...
It didn't start yet.
Do you believe it? It's the end of the hour.
It is?
It is. We're out of time.
Well, back to my vetting. This is vetting day. I'm talking to one candidate after another all day. I don't know what I'm going to have for the blog tomorrow, because all I'm doing is talking to candidates on the phone who want to get endorsed.
Oh, great. Well, I can't wait to hear about some of them. Maybe we'll do that next week. We'll find out some of the new candidates who are running. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. And, of course, the Blue America PAC, who finds and endorses the best progressive Democrats running. And there's a big difference between just having a D next to your name and actually being a progressive. As always, thank you. Thank you, Howie.
Bye-bye, Nicole.
Bye-bye. And with that, we are done for the day. We got one more. Tomorrow's Friday. Not quite sure what we're doing yet, but we'll bring you up to date on everything that happens with tonight's Votorama, that's for sure. As always, thank you for listening. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's Thursday, July 27, 2017.
How much is sea level going to rise by the end of this century?
U.S. Coast Guard planning for 6 feet of sea level rise by 2100. As the House Science Committee chairman pushes the myth that climate change will be, quote, beneficial. Rome may go to water rationing amid record drought. Plus,
this trend could be a red flag for men's health overall.
Environmental factors linked to serious decline in men's sperm counts.
You're doing that story?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Donald Trump sees the presidency the same way he sees one of his companies. Its whole purpose is to serve him and only him. The same way he probably thinks the purpose of the Energy Department is to charge his iPhone.
Like it's not. This is your Green News Report.
Plug it in, Rick. Daddy's got a tweet.
Okay, Desi Doyen, I'm waiting to find out, only sort of, how sperm count has anything to do with green news.
Oh, you're going to like this.
Doubt it.
An ominous new study finds that sperm counts have dropped by more than half in men living in industrialized Western nations.
Fantastic.
In a review of 185 studies covering tens of thousands of men since 1973, researchers documented men's sperm counts have declined 59%. Now, they did not see the same decline in Asian or African countries. The researchers suspect the decline is due to exposure to commonly used chemicals that are widespread in the West, like pesticides, lead, and chemicals used in plastics and fire retardants that are known to increase or decrease production of certain hormones.
I think I deserve an award for the 10 or so snarky comments that I did not interrupt you with during that story.
Admirable restraint.
You're welcome.
The Department of Energy has confirmed that a well-known Russian prankster posing as a Ukrainian energy official succeeded in fooling Energy Secretary Rick Perry into participating in a pretty straightforward 20-minute phone call in which Perry defended President Trump's plan to withdraw from the historic Paris Climate Agreement and even pressured Ukraine to incentivize U.S. oil and gas exploration by U.S. companies. But Secretary Perry did not mention U.S. renewable energy technology.
Nothing to talk about there, I guess.
Apparently not.
Well, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but apparently you can fool Rick Perry all of the time.
Most people who see the melting Arctic firsthand respond with alarm, but not Republican Congressman Lamar Smith of Texas, a climate science denier who is chairman of the House Science Committee. After recently touring the melting Arctic, Smith wrote an op-ed urging the public to focus on what he called the benefits of global warming, like the opening up of new shipping lanes in the Arctic and the expansion of oil and gas extraction.
Good God.
But the U.S. Coast Guard does not agree. At a recent symposium on impacts of climate change, the commandant of the Coast Guard, Admiral Paul Zukunft, said, again, the United States does not have the infrastructure to deal with an oil spill or increased shipping in the pristine Arctic.
But I can assure you that if there is an oil spill, we're not going to recover all that oil because we don't have the infrastructure up there.
More importantly, he said, the Coast Guard is planning long-term measures to protect and adapt Coast Guard facilities and infrastructure to rising seas caused by the man-made global warming that Representative Smith calls a hoax.
How much is sea level going to rise by the end of this century? I'm using a planning factor of 6 feet, 2 meters. We as a service better be ready for that because our motto is indeed Semper Paratus.
Well, no wonder the Coast Guard is the one branch of the military that Donald Trump wants to actually cut funding for.
Meanwhile, the city of Rome is facing water rationing amid the driest spring in 60 years. Italy's rainfall in 2017 is 80% below normal, and officials are weighing emergency measures in Rome like water rationing and temporarily shutting off the capital's famous fountains. But some good news. In China, a solar panel farm that was designed to resemble a panda bear in order to appeal to and educate school children about solar energy has proved to be so popular that Chinese officials are planning to build at least 100 more.
Wow.
In Florida, the city council of South Miami has voted to upgrade its building codes to require solar panels on all new homes. That's thanks to the efforts of a local teenage girl who helped write the ordinance. And finally, two counties and a city located on the coast of California have filed lawsuits against the world's 37 largest fossil fuel companies, alleging that the fossil fuel companies knew that their product would cause dangerous climate change, like rising seas, and lied to the public about it. They're seeking damages to address the impact that rising seas will have on billions of dollars worth of coastal property and infrastructure.
Sell your stocks in oil companies now. Just saying. For much more on all of those stories and the many we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.